how many of you know this morning that heaven's your home? Would you say amen? Amen. I tell you, that's the only thing that really matters in this world is to know 100% sure that you're going to go to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ said, insofar as these things are concerned, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Disciples went out rejoicing that the demons were subject to them. And he said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the great joy of your life is to know that you're saved. In that regard, I want to read a passage of Scripture that I have preached from, I know, in several occasions at funerals, and I don't recall if I've done it in a morning service or not, but it's just been on my heart. I have been reading through the Bible, and I'm now going through the book of James. Well, actually, I've completed the book of James, but just a few days ago, having read through these passages, the Lord seemed to speak to my heart from James chapter 4. Would you look there? James chapter 4. And I want to begin reading this morning with verse number 13, James chapter 4. And it says, go to ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I want us to bow together for a word of prayer right now. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for the fact that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have life eternal. And our Father, we do not understand all that is your perfect sovereign plan. Our Father, I know that God, you have your hand on individuals in this church that are going through very difficult times. I do pray this morning for Brother Donnie Pierce and for Mary. I pray, God, that you touch them. We pray your blessing on Brother Donnie Tippett and the girls. Our Father, for Miss Adeline, who's been going through this struggle so long, I pray, God, you'd encourage her heart and bless her. I pray this morning for others who will have surgical procedures even this week. We pray for Ms. Delores, and God, I pray you'd minister grace to her and encourage her and all the rest of them. And our Father, we know that you're in control, but also our Father, we understand that our Father, all that we do for every one of us, that this life, our Father, is as a vapor. It appeareth for a little while, and then it's gone. And our Father, I would pray that God, you'd help us in these days to number our days. Our Father, be used of God for your glory, and we'll thank you and praise you. Now, Lord, speak to hearts. Our Father, I have this one verse on my heart that, God, you've laid on it. And our Father, if there's any preach to be done this morning, you'll have to do it. Our Father, if there's any word that'll touch lives and change and fall eternity, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would be pleased, our Father, speak through me, and I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I do love to travel. My daughter Melissa says that I'm a gypsy. I believe I could have been a truck driver, Brother Timmy. I'd love to do that. And God let me minister to truck drivers, and I've been blessed to get to, by the way, some of you not here on Wednesday night, had the privilege this week to lead a truck driver to the Lord, a young Hispanic man, and on the phone, and he trusted the Lord as his Savior. You pray for him. His name is Isaac, and I want you to remember him in prayer and ask God's blessing on him as he grows in the Lord, and pray he'll find a good church home. He lives in a distant city, and I ask that you remember him in prayer. But I've had contact with several, and then at the funeral on yesterday, had some folks to mention to me. They wanted to get some copies of the CD. And then Brother Timmy said his son Timmy was driving down in Georgia and had on one of the highway shepherd hats and ran into a fellow, Brother Tim, and said, hey, you know the highway shepherd? And he said, I do. And he said, well, he used to pastor my church. Benji Sheffield is the one he'd run into. And so I thank the Lord that God's worked and blessed. But as I was reading this week and thinking about this passage of Scripture, I think about my life and your life. I don't know if it has to do anything with Brother Johnny passing away. Brother Johnny's one of those people that I thought would always be here. Brother Johnny's always been around. Out of the blue, he'll call you. Out of the blue, we have a chance to get together. He's always had something going on. Brother Johnny is one, and in the services yesterday, his sons just gave testimony and said their daddy was a visionary. He always had plans. He always saw things, and he always was doing something. He has pastored and preached evangelism for 34 years. He authored 20 books, had I don't know how many gospel albums out. In recent years, he's had three or four number one southern or country gospel hits, number one songs. And then the Bible College has grown tremendously in the last few years, last 3 years especially. They've graduated over 1,000 every year in the Bible College and had great influence in a lot of lives. And thank the Lord for that. But you know what? I went down on Friday. And we went by and visited with his wife, Judy, and took some food by the house. And she was there by herself at the time we went. We had some time together. And she said this to Regina. Actually, she said that when we went to the viewing that night as we went in to where he was at and the family was standing, and she got broke down, went to crying. And she told Regina, she said, I begged him to stay. She lived right across the road from where he had a heart attack. And she said, I begged him to stay, but he couldn't. And you know what? That's true of every one of us, isn't it? We cannot stay. When I was in the hospital, the young black lady came in, the nurse, and she was talking to me. She said, Brother Billy, you know what? The Lord didn't make us to stay here anyway. And when you read this passage of Scripture that I've just read to you this morning, how that is emphasized. Now, I want you to turn to another passage of Scripture, just right over a little bit further from the book of James. You have your place in James. Turn over to chapter 1 of 1 Peter and listen to this particular passage of Scripture. And listen to what it says in verse, first of all, in verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, though it perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus, whom, having not seen, you loved, in whom, though you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. The Apostle Peter's reminding those people of that day that what salvation's all about. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men most miserable. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad my wife's saved. Glad my family's saved. And we have a wonderful life. God's been good to us and people have been good to us. And I enjoy where I live at. I enjoy all that God's given me. But do you know, all of us, everything you've got is just temporary. It's just a short time. 1 second after you die, everything that you have belongs to somebody else. When we sat and talked to Miss Judy, Brother Johnny's wife, on Friday, in her home, and we were talking about, she was talking about her future and, you know, not know, like always, you know, people don't know what they're going to do and how they're going to, and she said, you really pray for me and the loss of Johnny. She said, I don't know what I'll do. And she said, besides that, I just found out that I am now the president of North Carolina College of Theology. He left it in the paperwork of the school that if anything happened to him, she was to be the president. And so all that God had used him to do over these several years of building that college in just one split second became hers and her responsibility. And 1 second after you die, everything you've got belongs to somebody else. But you know what? The one thing that it talks in this passage of Scripture about that salvation is all about is not what you have here, but it's what you have there. He said salvation was all about your inheritance that is incorruptible, that is undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And then he talks about receiving in the end of your faith the salvation of your soul. That's what it's really all about. What it's all about is the fact that you know Christ as your Savior and Lord. I want you to look at that one little phrase, and if you mark it, perhaps you've heard me preach on it. I've had you to mark it before. But notice again, if you would please, in verse number 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? I underline that little phrase, what is your life? I want to say to you in the first place this morning that life, what is your life? It is brief by any standard. It is brief by any standard. Now, I don't know about you. Some of you, Brother Mitchell teaches the Golden Seniors class. He's just a little bit older than I am, but he doesn't act like he's old, does he? And I'll tell you what Mitchell would say and what I'd say. I'll be 67 years old my birthday. But you know what? People say, well, I just feel old. I do not feel old. Now, I act old sometimes, but I don't feel old in my mind. Don Harrell's all the time saying your mind makes demands that your body can't keep sometimes. But you know what? I don't feel like, and I do remember this, though. I remember back when I was a young boy, and when particularly even after me and Regina got married, somebody 60 years old, I thought they was well on the way, you know, out of here. I thought they'd be in the nursing home. But here I am. I feel like I could do anything I've ever done except do a pogo stick. Now, I used to do that all the time, and they don't think I can do that, but I might try it. But, your mind plays tricks on you. And I'm not old, but we thank the Lord. Brother Paul, we recognize him being the oldest dad here last Sunday. But he doesn't feel old. His mind is still alert. He still works and everything. But when I was young, 60 was old. But when you get to be 60, it's not old. But the truth of the matter is, I don't care how long you live. I was talking to Brother Bob and Lee the other day at Rob's wedding. When I came, not long after I came, I visited over here with Bob's mom and dad next door to the store. And Mr. Jack was 95 years old. That summer, I saw him mowing grass out here by the ditch. And then he kind of went downhill, and then he passed away. I believe it was 14 days later, his wife died. And she died just 14 days later. They had been married. They were both 95 years old. They'd been married over 75 years. And in that brief time, that length of time of being married, 14 days was the longest they'd ever been separated since they got married. I think one time she went down to Florida or somewhere in South Carolina when her sister had a baby or something, and she was down there for 2 or 3 days. And that's the longest they were ever separated. But you know, I've been here now 16, going on 17 years. I've never buried anybody else that old. I was thinking about this morning with the funeral yesterday with Ms. Alice's tomorrow. Either I have been a part in or attended over 10 funerals since February. And I've done most of them myself. And folk, listen, some of them were a little younger and some of them were a little older. But you know what? I don't care how old you are, your life is brief. It is brief by any standard. Brother Johnny was used greatly of the Lord. But when I left out from the viewing the other night, there was thousands of people going up right in front of his church, right in front of the school there, thousands of them that didn't even know him. I checked in a little motel down the way that Derwin Henson and his wife had helped me to make some connections with a fine Christian family that owned a motel. And we got a little motel room at a good rate. And I told her while I was there, and I was there for the funeral of Brother Johnny Cook. I said, do you know him? And she said, no, I don't know him. I said, well, if you go right over the bridge, that's where the school and the church is at. And she said, no, I think I've heard the name, but I don't know him. I talked to a lady in the restaurant. I told her I was there for Brother Johnny's funeral. And that was about 4 miles maybe, from where all that takes place at, thousands of people coming. He didn't even know him. And you know what? I got to thinking, you know, our life is brief. And I don't know how many people you'll contact and how many I'll contact, but you know, relatively few in the whole context of the thing. And you know what it challenged me to do? Not that anybody would know me, but I sure would like for as many people that I could to know Jesus. Because you know what? It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Everybody in this building, I don't care how old you are, your life's going to be brief. You won't live very long. You don't have long to be saved. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. Matter of fact, he said in this passage of Scripture, he said, some people say, well, tomorrow we're going to go into such and such and do such and such thing. But he said, listen, you know what tomorrow holds. And many of you here today may not even have a tomorrow. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. Life is brief. I don't care if you're 10 or if you're 25 or if you're 100. Life is brief. It doesn't last very long. And you think back over it, man, it got gone in such a hurry that it's here and it's gone. It's brief by any standard. And it's imperative that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. How long do you have to be saved? I can tell you on the authority of God's word, there's only one time you can get saved, and that's today. That is today. There's no promise in this Bible that anybody can get saved tomorrow. But the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And so if you're going to get saved, today's the day you need to get saved. You say, Brother Billy, how do I get saved? He's not willing that any should perish. For those of you who were here on Wednesday night, I'll repeat myself. But I've had people say different things to me. But on Wednesday afternoon when I was talking, right after I'd heard about Brother Johnny, I was talking with this young trucker, Hispanic man, and I asked him, are you, Isaac, are you saved? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? He said, no, I can't get saved. I said, why can't you get saved? He said, I've done too many wicked things. He said, I'm gonna do the best I can. He said, I'm gonna try to live for Him, but I know when I die, I'm gonna go to hell. I cannot be saved. I said, why? And he said, I've done so many wicked things. I said, let me tell you something. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible said that He died for the ungodly. He died that you might have everlasting life. He died knowing your sin. And you know what, Isaac, you know what? When he died on the cross, the Bible said He bore all our sins in His own body on the tree. He knew every sin you'd commit. He knew every sin I'd commit. And I was ungodly and I was wicked. He died for the wicked. But all of my sin, when He died on the cross and all of your sin, He bore His own body on the tree. He paid every sin debt for you. And there was silence. I knew that He'd been raised in a different religious group that taught that God did not atone for all of your sin, that you had to do penance and you had to do things to atone for your own sin. And you had to stay close to Him. And you had to do all these things to atone daily for your sins. But I said to him, I said, Isaac, you know what? The Bible says that when He died on that cross, He cried, it's finished. And what that means is this, He paid all of your sin debt. And for every person in this building, for every sin you've ever done, and all those in the radio and internet audience, for every sin you've ever committed, Jesus Christ died on that cross. And He said, today is a day of salvation. He's the one who loved you. He's the one who bore your sin. And He's the one who said this, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if I was the one who said that, you might question it. But I didn't say that. He said that. And He said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And right now in your life, today is the day of salvation. This is the day you have. Nobody in this building has promised tomorrow to get saved. But I'll say something else to you. Nobody in this building is promised tomorrow to serve. The only way you can honor God is today. What you're going to do today. People die having planned things. Johnny had plans. Oh, his son said, my daddy had plans of big things he wanted to do. But you know what? That wasn't in God's plan. But only today can you do what God wants you to do. And you know what? You live today and you obey Him today. This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. How long are you going to live? Some of you today are battling cancer in your body. And we know who they are. They are our dear friends. But you know, the truth of the matter is, there may be a lot of us who leave this world long before they do. Long before they do. You know why? Because not one person in this building is given another promise of tomorrow. That is to live in this world. And today's the day to serve. Not only the day to be saved, but today's the day to serve. And to be a witness today and be a blessing today and touch some life today for the Lord Jesus Christ. And honor Him. Today may be your last chance to witness to somebody and to share Christ with them. I told you the story, and I told it in a message years ago when I was down in Florida. We had a bus ministry, and we were visiting. We were right on the Florida line. It's a little town called Florella, Alabama. It's on the Florida and Alabama line, and there's a great big lake right there. It's called Lake Jackson, and we were visiting our bus route there, and we had visited that morning. We started about 9:30, 10 o'clock. It was right about quarter after 1, maybe, or around 1 o'clock. And we came in this cul-de-sac right off the lake. And we came down one side, knocking on doors, invite people to church and giving them tracts, witness to them, try to get them to ride the bus to church. And we didn't get all the way to the end. And we just, all of a sudden, we all just decided we were tired. And I said, well, I'll tell you what let's do. We'll stop right here. And I said, next Saturday, we'll start right back here. We'll start right here. We'll finish on around, try to visit all these homes. Well, we finished up, went home. Everybody went their several way. And I got home. I hadn't been home hardly an hour. And the phone rang. And it was one of my members, and she was crying. I said, what's wrong? She said, my brother has just had a heart attack. They think he didn't make it. And I said, well, I'll be praying. I said, can I help? And she said, yeah, would you go up there? Said, they don't have a preacher, so they don't go to church, and my sister-in-law is all to pieces and everything else. And I said, well, can you tell me where they live at? She said, yeah, you know where the lake's at? I said, yeah, I know where the lake's at. And she said, you know how you turn down by the grocery store and you get out and you get on that lake drive? I said, yeah. She said, if you go around halfway around that lake, there's a cul-de-sac. I said, I know exactly where it's at. She said, if you go in that cul-de-sac and when you go down, she said, his house is the last one on that right-hand side just before you make the turn. I said, I was just there. I said, I was there an hour ago. And I went up there and I rode down, and sure enough, when I came to the house where we stopped at, two doors down from there were people and cars all out there. And I went up and I introduced myself and talked with the family and had prayer with them and tried to minister to them. And as I drove away, I thought, I don't know how long, Lord, if I had just took a few minutes and knocked on two more doors, I'd have knocked on that man's door just before he died. Just before he died. I tell you, next Saturday may not come, not only for you, but for those you love. And next week may not come, and tomorrow may not come for your mom and your daddy and your son, your daughter, and your family and your friends. Today's the day of salvation for them, and today's the day for you to serve. You be a witness for Jesus every day and honor him and glorify him, because today is the day. I noticed something about this passage of scripture. I don't know. I'm like Brother Jesse Norris. I don't know all I know about it. But notice what it says in this passage of scripture. It said, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor. It appears for a little time. Your life is short by any standard, and then it vanisheth away. Your life is vanishing away. I mean, it'll be gone just like that before you know it. Before you know it, it'll be passing away. My wife and I, when we went up some time ago to the Titanic exhibit, we heard a fellow sing a song, and my wife said, we got to have that song for the next baby dedication. And it's called Let Them Be Little. And the guy introduced it by saying, my children, when they were little, he said they were so much trouble. He said they were in terrible twos for about 3 years, best I can remember. And he said they just drove us crazy. And we said we couldn't wait till they got grown, till they got big. And he said, now I look at them. And he said it went just like that. And he said, you know what? I wished they were little. And he sang the song, Let Them Be Little. Let them be kids and love them right now and love them every day. Because it's vanishing away. It'll be gone before you know it. And you know, one thing I noticed, and I thank the Lord for what God's allowed me to do and not done much, but I thank the Lord for that. But for the majority of people, the influencer of their life will vanish away like a vapor. Once it's gone, there's no evidence it was ever there. Wouldn't it be something if you lived and died and your influence was absolutely zero? It vanished away. There was no evidence that you ever lived, that you never touched the life of Christ, that you never did anything to glorify God, that you never had an investment in the lives of others as a heritage for them to grow. Not only the brevity of life, but this opportunity for influence that could be wasted. That vapor, once it's there, it just dissipates, and there's no evidence it was ever even there. And wouldn't it be a horrible thing for you to live here in your community, or live in Benson, or live in Clayton, or wherever you live, Anger, and for you to live and die and not have any kind of influence, and be just like a vapor just gone, and no influence whatsoever? Brad and I were talking about our deacons and thank the Lord for our leadership. And Brother Mitchell stood here, and then Brother Barry, I think last week, and two of the greatest Bible teachers I've ever known. But I think about how many young men are coming behind them that will be able to fill their shoes. This morning, Brother Jerry brought a pair of shoes here this morning. Now, I think they're going to fit Brother Brad. We're going to let him try them on in a few minutes, see if he's Cinderella or not. But at any rate, y'all get that in a minute. But is that Cinderella with the shoe? I might have had the wrong story. Maybe that's why it wasn't funny, but anyhow. Here's why I want you to stand there. Whenever you leave, somebody needs to fill your shoes. Somebody needs to take your place. Somebody needs to be behind you that can carry on your legacy. What have you taught your children by your example? How have you influenced your friends and family? When you're gone, are you going to be gone like a vapor? No evidence you ever existed? Your opportunity to make an impact is now. You can't do it later. It has to be now. Do it while you're living. Life is brief by any standards. But can I say something? Life is blessed by the Savior. Life is blessed by the Savior. When I come to serve the Lord, and you come to serve the Lord, it's His touch and His blessing on us that makes the difference. God can use us and our life will count for Christ. I thought about Brother Johnny. They had the viewing at his son's church there. Brother Johnny started the church, and his son Daniel now pastors that church. And then they had the funeral service in the big city auditorium, or the community college auditorium downtown Wilmington. And I don't know, there were quite a few hundred people there. I don't have any idea. And I know they did a motorcade afterwards over to the cemetery and went all the way around Wilmington and had several police escorts. And I don't know, it looked to me like there was probably 100 cars in the procession with us. I don't know if it's that many or not, but there's a lot of people. But everything that God ever did, everything that Johnny ever accomplished or I ever accomplished, it is not any of us, but it's Him. It's the blessing of God on us. It's what God does through you and God does through me. And then you say, Brother Billy, what's so significant about that? It's because He's no respecter of persons. He'll use every man in this building, use every woman in this building, He'll use every boy, every girl in this building. He'll use you for the glory of God. Glory to God. And I got to thinking about when I was in there yesterday in this big auditorium and all the crowd that had come for Brother Johnny. I don't know why I got to think about the Apostle Paul. And I'm studying the book of Acts, and I don't have any record in here of Paul's funeral. I know one time before he died, he said, everybody has forsaken me. He said, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. There's a time near the end of Paul's life when there was nobody there with him. All of those folks that led to the Lord, all the people that he'd influenced, there was nobody standing with him. But he said, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. Life is blessed by the Lord because there'll be times in your life that you'll feel like you're all alone. But He made a promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He'll never leave you. He's there to help you. He's there to bless you. He's there to encourage you. And He'll be there with you no matter what comes in your life. Look over in your Bible here in this book. Go back to the book of 1 Peter. I want to show you something in 1 Peter down here, and I'll be through here in just a second. But notice what it says. I want you to look, first of all, at verse number 15. But as He which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That is your lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourn here in fear. That means that you live it in reverence to God. And notice that phrase, your sojourn. Do you know what? Like the lady told me in the hospital, He didn't make us to live here. We're just passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And so are you. And it's, if you honor God, if you'll live for Him, if you'll, that word fear doesn't mean to be afraid of, it means to reverence Him. And listen, why should you live that way? Verse 18, for as much as you know that you would not redeem with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation which received tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last days, watch, for you. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain, was for you. Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him from the dead and gave glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. He said, you ought to live your life to honor God. You'll live holy. You'll live to love the brethren, love people around you. Show that love. Demonstrate that love every day. Honor God. And through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, you'll love that. You'll live that way. You'll live a purified life, a holy life, and you'll love. You're born again by the word of God. But notice why. Verse 24. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. My dear friend, your influence in this world that will count for eternity is what God does through you to touch lives for Jesus. Your life is brief by any standard. Your life is blessed by the Savior, and you'll honor Him in that lifestyle. You say, Brother Bill, it's awful simplistic message. Dying is not the easiest thing in the world for you unless you know Christ. If you know Christ, you trust Him and you love Him and you're obedient to Him, then for you, Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, gave me at that day. Not to me only, but to all those that love His appearing. I don't care what you say. I don't care how long you've lived on your homestead, where you built your house, stick built right by yourself. If you dug the foot of the foundation, dug the well by hand, you're just passing through. You're not going to be here long. By any standard, you will not be here long. Jim Elliot, the great missionary that died trying to reach the Indians, said it as clearly and as concisely as anybody ever could. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. He said in this passage of Scripture, all flesh is as grass, it withers away, but the Word of God will last forever. I'm sure glad today that your friend and my friend, Brother Johnny Cook, is not dead. He's more alive than he's ever been. I'm glad that those who know you know you're saved, that they can have that same assurance. I'm glad that, and I know Terry and Perry and Gary have been in several times to see Ms. Alice, and it was hard for me to see her like she's been for the last several months, laid on that little bed right on the floor, and just see her just kind of going away, going away, going away. But you know what? On Friday morning, boy, she did go away. She didn't just leave. She arrived. She went to that inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for her in heaven. This time on earth is brief. There's times like you, like me, that you think, boy, I'll sure be glad when it's over with. But I'll tell you something. It's time now for us to be saved. It's time for you to serve. It's time for you to be a blessing to other people. Your life is short. Will you bow with me for prayer this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed? Very simple truth this morning, just to cause us to come to the grips with this fact that every person in here is just a sojourner. You're just passing through. And if you're not saved, that your life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And it's like the flower of the grass that appears for a little while and then it's gone. And you don't have long to do what you're going to do. I want to ask you a question this morning. And you know in your own heart, just know for sure, because I'm going to tell you, it's a good thing to know and your family ought to know it. But I want to ask you this. He said, these things that are written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. Do you know this morning that you're saved and heaven's your home? Would you raise your hand real high? Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Now, in our heart, not many of us say, I want to die. I want to leave my husband, my wife, my family. I don't think, Brother John, if you'd ask him a few minutes before 12 on Wednesday, Brother Johnny, do you want to die? He said, no. I want to be here with Judy, be here with the boys. I want to see my grandchildren grow up. I want to see the school continue to grow. I want to do things for Christ. But you say, Brother Johnny, are you ready? He said, absolutely, I'm ready. And it's all in His time. His time, His ways, not our ways. But for those of you who raised your hand, what a joy and a peace that you know that you're ready. But for those who didn't raise your hand, can I say to you, the Lord Jesus Christ loved you and died for you. He's not willing that any should perish. He's bore all your sins in the cross on that tree. He died for you, and He'll save you this morning. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. I've been serving the Lord for a good long time now. I've never known of anybody to get saved tomorrow. In my ministry, they all got saved today, right then, at the altar, some in a home, some in a hospital room, different places. But I've never seen anybody get saved tomorrow. They all got saved today. Right now, would you trust Christ? He loved you and died for you. And if you'll cry out to Him right now from your heart and pray this simple prayer, believing it's not the words of the prayer, but it's your turning from sin, turn to the Savior. Will you accept Him right now? Pray a simple prayer, something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. But Lord, I believe You bore my sins in Your body on the tree. All of my sins You paid for. You died for my sin. I believe You were buried and rose again. I believe You're alive. Lord Jesus, come in my heart. I receive You now as my Savior and Lord. Save me. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me and for saving me right now. While we are praying, dear friends, the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. A believing heart is a calling heart, receiving heart. If you've done that just now, not according to what I say, but according to what the Bible said, He saved you. Believe it in your heart. Confess it with your mouth. Let folk know it. Trust Him. Love Him. Serve Him. How many of you are Christians this morning? I wonder if you've ever thought about the fact that you don't have long to serve Him. And I wonder, I could raise both hands. I'm not going to ask you to do it either. You say, Brother Billy, I do know that there's been times that I've missed opportunities to serve. I forget sometimes that my friends, my family may not have a tomorrow. And I want you to pray that God the Holy Ghost will use me to make my days that I have count for Christ, and I can be an influence for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can do, as the Bible said, pass the time of your sojourn here in fear or in reverence to the Lord, obedient to Him, and love your neighbor, love your friends, and witness for Jesus. You're going to say, Pastor, I want my life every day to count for Christ. I want to touch somebody for Jesus every day, and I'll start right now. Would you raise your hand? Our Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now. Lord Jesus, make real in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, their frailty as a human being. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God would draw them by Your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. And I pray, God, that God's people be obedient. Lord, if there's some who need to come, I pray they'd come. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Brad, sing a verse of a song. We're not going to keep you long this morning. But if you say, Preacher, I need this morning a special touch. And I'm going to tell you, I need it all the time. I have some wonderful cards and letters here from preachers and singers and folk that came and said they got fresh touch. But what God did count me a few weeks ago, we need another touch today. You say, I want God to use me. I invite you to come. Just get before Him and thank Him, first of all, for saving you, for your inheritance that faded not away. And then say, Lord, I want to serve You today. And every day, I want every day to count for Jesus. I pray, God, You'd use me for Your glory.